Nate Saint transformed the lives of missionaries in the Eastern Jungle. What had taken them one day's walking, they could now do in 5 minutes of flying.
For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about being expendable for God. Avionetta Uyarimung. Those are Quechua words. Quechuas are Indians in the eastern jungle of Ecuador, where I used to live. And those words, Avionetta Uyarimung, mean here comes the airplane. I want to tell you the story today about the man who was flying that little airplane. His name was Nate Saint. As the Indians scattered off the airstrip and tried to get all the dogs and cows and anything else that might be obstructing the landing of the plane, they would line up along the side, and as the plane came to a stop, a sunburned, sandy-haired, blue-eyed man would jump out of the plane. His name was Nate, Nate Saint from Philadelphia. He served the station where Jim Elliott, Pete Fleming, and Ed and Mary Lou McCulley were working. He would unload from the plane things like a 100-pound sack of flour, a 15-gallon can of fuel, maybe some meat, certainly some mail, usually some medicine, maybe a couple of new brooms, penicillin. Whatever the missionaries had needed and asked for by shortwave radio, Nate would have in his plane. He would stand chatting with the missionaries, occasionally had time to go and sit down in their house and have a glass of lemonade. But if he did that, there would always be the little ping of an alarm watch. Nate Saint was one of the most methodical of men, and he had his day's flying schedule worked to the second. He knew exactly when he had to leave that station in order to get back to the base or to the next station where he had other things to deliver. So he always wore an alarm watch. He was a methodical man, disciplined, organized, a man of great humor, a man of sensitivity. I don't think I've ever known anyone more gentle, more thoughtful. He was one of the founders of the Missionary Aviation Fellowship and the one who instituted the flying program in the eastern jungle of Ecuador, in a little place which had been originally a Shell oil company base called Shell Meta, which was almost the end of the road before pure jungle begins. Nate Saint transformed the lives of missionaries in the eastern jungle. What had taken them one day's walking, they could now do in 5 minutes of flying. Nate and Marge's house in Shell Meta was not very big when I first arrived there. He enlarged it several years later, but they shared what they had with any and all who came. I don't suppose there were many nights in a year when Nate and Marge didn't share their house with guests. Marge said, "I cook for ordinary people, 2 or 12, and then I double it," because she never knew who was going to arrive. Nate had done everything he possibly could to simplify the flying program, to reduce the weight of the plane so that every possible ounce could be used for the missionaries and their cargo. He took out the comfortable seats in the Piper and replaced them with canvas seats, which weighed only 1 pound and were extremely uncomfortable. And just to give you an idea of a letter that Nate wrote, "During the last war, we were taught to recognize that in order to obtain our objective, we had to be willing to be expendable. This very afternoon, thousands of soldiers are known by their serial numbers as men who are expendable. We know there is only one answer to our country's demand that we share in the price of freedom. Yet when the Lord Jesus asks us to pay the price for world evangelization, we often answer without a word. We cannot go. We say it costs too much. Nate's convictions about expendability did not lessen the sense of caution which is ingrained in the fiber of any first-rate flyer. Nate was certainly a first-rate flyer. And one of the things which he was always concerned with was safety. That was his primary concern. And one day, he was sitting there at his house in Shalmeta when he noticed a truck going past the house with a small boy on the roof of the cab holding a 5-gallon can. There was an older boy on the front fender holding the lower end of a siphon pointed at the carburetor. Suddenly, something clicked in Nate's mind. Here was a simple alternate fuel system. Why couldn't he have an alternate fuel system in his airplane? If that lumbering old truck was going to climb 6,000 feet in second gear with a kid pouring gasoline through a hose into the carburetor, why couldn't he develop an alternate fuel system for his plane? He lay awake that night, thinking about it, plotting it in his mind, and the next day he took one of Marge's 3-gallon cooking oil tins, he made a balsa wood fairing for the tank, strapped the thing under the struts of the wing of his plane, and lo and behold, an alternate fuel system. A dead engine in the air, he told himself, will windmill fast enough to stay out of those critical lower speeds. The next morning, the first tests of his alternate fuel system proved that it could work without a hitch on the ground, and the moment had come to test it in the air. He described the experience. 2,000 feet above the landing strip, I pulled the mixture control to idle cutoff. It was quite a novel experience for a fellow who had listened so long, hoping never to hear it happen. But a turn of the new little T-handle on the instrument panel brought with it a wonderful feeling as the engine wound back up to smooth, full power. For the next 20 minutes, the normal fuel source was shut off tight. Even though the carburetor was bypassed completely, the engine never missed. It picked up from the windmilling condition without a cough. I put the plane into every imaginable attitude at various power settings, and it never faltered. Feeling for the best mixture setting with emergency T-handle was no more difficult than leaning the engine with the regular mixture control. Same thing. The whole rig, tank, and all weighs only 4 pounds. The only thing it has in common with the ship's fuel system is the engine. It takes care of all the common troubles such as clogged vents and broken lines. He not only invented an alternate fuel system, but he invented what he called a bucket drop. This was a method whereby he could circle the plane about a mile in diameter and slowly lower a bucket on a line from the plane. As the plane circled, the line spiraled, and the bucket came to rest on the ground at the vortex of the cone. Someone on the ground could then grab hold of the bucket, take out whatever message might be in it, or even a telephone, a ground-to-air telephone, or he could put a message into the bucket. This was a method of immense importance to missionaries who were on stations where there was no airstrip, and they might need an emergency drop, for example, of snake serum, or they perhaps need to send out a message. And so Nate's bucket drop, which I'm told aeronautical engineers have studied on paper and have declared will never work, worked beautifully. Just to give you a little background on Nate Saint, he was born in Pennsylvania in 1923. His older brother Sam, who became a pilot with American Airlines, took Nate flying when he was just a little boy. He suffered osteomyelitis at one time. Later, went to night school in order to get his college work. Then he became a mechanic in a small airport, and then joined the Air Force cadet program. This was a tremendous thrill for him to be accepted in the cadet program. But the night before he was to report for his first military flying instruction, he became aware of pain around his old osteomyelitis scar. Yanking up his trouser leg, he discovered the truth. It was inflamed. All his boyhood ambitions of the past years wrapped up and focused on this tremendous opportunity to get into big-time flying suddenly collapsed. "I didn't say a word to my roommate," Nate wrote, "but jumped into bed, turned out the light without a word. There I barred myself into the small, dark confines of my heart, which had now become a dungeon for solitary confinement. Except for the tossing and choked, then sighing respiration, no one would have known the thing that was almost overwhelming me. No fooling, I was heartbroken." The shock of losing the opportunity of getting out of flying putt-putts into real airplanes left Nate in a state of numbness. But 1 year after he was grounded, he was sent to Detroit on detached service to study new and larger engines that were soon to be on the line. And there at a New Year's Eve worship service, he felt that the Lord was turning his heart to the mission field. "What was going on in the service wasn't important," he recalled later. "I wasn't hearing anything with my ears anyhow. I pleaded helplessly with my Heavenly Father for the answer that stood between me and the peace that Jesus had said should be ours. Now you've heard about people being spoken to by God. I don't know about the other fellow, but that night I saw things differently. Bing. Like that. Just as though a different Kodachrome slide had been tossed onto the screen between my ears. As soon as I could, I stepped out of the building and started out, just to get away from the people. A joy such as I had never known since I accepted Jesus' forgiveness for my sins seemed to leave me almost weak with gratitude. It was the first time that I had ever really heard that verse, 'Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.' The old life of chasing things that are of a temporal sort seemed absolutely insane."
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.